views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us here today. If you're listening live, you might be listening in the Seattle area on 1150 AM KKNW. You might be listening live on Transformation Talk Radio anywhere around the world on one of the 90 syndicated stations, both during and after the fact, or on ChristineUpchurch.com. But whenever and wherever you're listening from today, you're going to be really grateful you joined us, because we're going to be talking about something so very important for the transformation of this planet. But before I get into that, you know, I always have to leave you with a teaser here. I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio, who allows you to hear these wonderful conversations. He does his magic over there, Mr. Benny Mathers. Hi, Benny.
So am I the tease or teaser
teaser? No, I never say what it's about until I say hello to you.
And it's just... Okay. Well, do you have any big plans for Friday the 13th?
No, I don't. I don't.
You should.
I should?
I don't know. I just see where you would go with that, too.
You know, it's funny because I've had a lot of wonderful things happen on Friday. Friday is the 13th.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a bad day. I mean,
it can be
a good day, actually.
It can be. And it's sort of interesting to see the energy around these superstitions. And some people have fun with it. Some people fear it. And most people just don't care one way or another.
I had a communications professor at WSU that actually got married on Friday the 13th.
Did he really?
And he did a lot of the stuff that was traditional backwards around, like, marriages. They both dressed up in black, not white, both of them, even the bride. And as well as, they wore their rings on the opposite hand.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
So they did a lot of those things, and that's just their thing. They loved it. I mean, and people would obviously ask questions like, what's going on here? So, hey, do what you want.
That's great. You know, in the 5+ years I've been doing radio, I have never talked about something on the air in any great detail. And it's my passion for animals. And, you know, if you're listening, I know that's not just that you want to kind of be on your own spiritual, psychological journey and become a better human being and become healthier and more whole. But I suspect you're also interested in helping to create a more compassionate, loving planet. And I tell you, we've got an issue right now, and I think we have a tendency to compartmentalize cruelty, compartmentalize the shadow and the light. And if you've read my recent blog, I talk about the importance of opening the collective heart. I think each and every one of us is being called forward to do our part to face the shadow, you know, the collective shadow, and to allow ourselves to feel the grief, the deep grief for some of the things that exist on our planet that are contrary to the world we want to create, and then to help take action. So our guest today, boy, he's playing such an important role. He is Nathan Runkle, and he is the founder and president of Mercy for Animals. It's an organization founded to give the food or the farm animals a much-needed advocate. And he's nationally recognized. He's been a speaker on animal advocacy, factory farming, and veganism. He's presented all over the place, including colleges, conferences, and many other forums coast to coast. He has been on all sorts of media, including ABC's World News Tonight, Nightline, 2020, CNN, NPR, and he's been in USA Today, The New York Times, LA Times, and the Chicago Tribune. He is an activist, and he's doing something that is incredibly hard for any human being to do, but because he cares so much, he is working hard to work alongside the elected officials and the corporate executives and the heads of organizations, the farmers, actually not just like bringing to light the cruelty that exists, but helping to create change and collaborating with others. He is an award winner of Veg News Magazine, named Nathan one of the 25 most fascinating vegetarians and one of the country's top 20 activists under 30 years old. And in 2009, at the mere age of 25, Nathan became the youngest person ever inducted into the U.S. Animal Rights Hall of Fame. I would like to welcome our guest today, Nathan Runkel. Nathan, so thanks so much for joining us here.
Thanks so much for having me. It's my honor.
You know, Nathan, I'm always fascinated by how somebody gets from wherever they started in their lives to their passion and purpose. How did you find your way into animal activism?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I was born on a couch in a farming community of less than 2,000 people. I was slated to be a fifth generation farmer. So it really was quite a journey for me to go from that path to founding an international animal rights organization. And for me, it started at a very young age. I was surrounded by animals from really the first moments that I can remember. And it was these animals, our dogs and cats, who really started to teach me that when it comes to having personalities and minds and interests and the ability to feel and give love and affection mm-hmm. and protection, mm-hmm. humans are not alone. These are needs and emotions that are widespread throughout the entire animal kingdom. And in addition to that, when it comes to feeling pain, sadness, loneliness, depression, other animals join us in that as well. Mm-hmm. So it was my companion animals that started opening my eyes to our shared experience at a very young age. And I think that most people who share their homes with dogs and cats can certainly relate to that. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in a country now where half of us have dogs or cats, and half of those animals receive gifts around the holiday season, and we spend, right. You know, billions of dollars on their health and welfare and surgeries when they're sick. But we also live in a country that really ignores the plight of the 99%, which in this case are animals raised and used for food, mm-hmm. The cows and pigs and chickens, who are every bit as intelligent and curious and have rich emotional lives as dogs and cats, but they're sort of ghosts in our industrial machine, and they suffer out of sight and out of mind.
Right.
So for me, it was actually a little white rat that I rescued when I was 6 years old that started to open my eyes to how our perception of different animals affects the way in which we treat them mm-hmm. and their lives. Across from our cornfield, we had neighbors who actually raised rabbits and guinea pigs and mice and rats to be sold to laboratories to be used in experimentation.
Right.
And one day I was over at their house with my mom to collect the rent check, and Sylvia, who is the owner of the premise, knew of my love for animals, and she took me in, and she wanted to show me what they were doing there. Now I really look back with horror. I remember just seeing animals crowded into these filthy cages, animals that had died, but I didn't really understand what was happening at the time. She reached into one of the cages. She pulled out this rat. It was a Siamese rat, just a beautiful animal, put him into my hands and asked if I wanted to take him home with me. And I mm-hmm. said, yes, of course.
Right.
I begged my mom. She said it would be okay. And this little rat, who I named Caesar, became my best friend. Again, I was 6 years old. He would sit on my shoulder. He knew his name. He'd come running. He, you know, was just so intelligent, so clean, and just like such an amazing guy. And I would bring people, friends, over to see Caesar. And I remember a lot of them, regardless of their age, would shriek in horror and disgust at the sight of him. They would say,
oh, dear.
My gosh, a rat, look at his tail, you know. And I started at this young age to realize that he was being judged for what he was, not who he was. These individuals didn't know Caesar as, you know, this intelligent, you know, thoughtful creature as I did.
Uh-huh.
And that started to get me to think about really the arbitrary lines that we place on animals and how we call some animals friends uh-huh. and we call other animals foods.
Right.
We call some animals pests and others pets. So that was really the beginning of a journey for me in terms of my perception of other animals. And then I learned about factory farming, and I decided that I didn't want to pay other people to abuse animals
right.
on my behalf. If I didn't want to treat animals in that way, I wouldn't pay someone to do it, and became a vegetarian when I was 11.
And I think that for a very, very long time, I think people had this idyllic picture in their minds about how farm animals lived their lives until they died. And mm-hmm. I know that you've done a lot of investigation and other organizations have as well to show that's definitely not the case. And I'm going to want you to talk a little bit about that and share about some of the positive changes you've helped to make. We're going to go to break, but we'll be back in just a few moments.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
The goal for the Art of Powerful Living Radio is to inspire every human to live lives that are rich, fulfilling, on purpose, and fun. This hit show with Robert Schoenfeld is a fresh approach to boldly living our lives with creativity, courage, patience, wisdom, love, and power. Join Robert every month with Dr. Pat Basile for the Art of Powerful Living Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back on KKNW or Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking to the author of Mercy for Animals, One Man's Quest to Inspire Compassion and Improve the Lives of Farm Animals, Nathan Runkel. Nathan, you know, you told the story about how you got involved in animal rights activism. Can you just share with our listeners what's involved in order to, like, do this sort of undercover kinds of exposés?
Yeah, so, you know, we send people into factory farms and slaughterhouses and hatcheries wired with pinhole-sized hidden cameras to document what these 9 billion animals that are raised and killed every year for food are subjected to.
Say that number again, Nathan. No, I just want to comprehend that. How many?
Yeah, 9 billion. That's in the United States alone. It's a number that nobody really can comprehend. And the truth is that it's almost 300 animals every single second that's killed for food. And most of these are birds. Most of these are chickens and turkeys. And that doesn't even include the number of fish or aquatic animals that are killed. And if we look at a global level, we're talking hundreds of billions of animals.
Oh my gosh.
And it's devastating, but to think that each one of these animals is an individual with a story, you know, with their own life, that had a family, it starts to become much more real. But the truth is that these animals, they suffer and die out of sight, in silence, most people never giving much thought or consideration to who they were or what their lives were like.
Right.
And that's why we do these investigations, because we believe that people have a right to know how their food is produced, and that these animals have a right to have their stories told. And the meat industry and the dairy industry, they really go to extreme lengths to keep people in the dark and keep their practices concealed. And, you know, they put so many resources into telling us that cheese comes from happy cows that live out in pasture, and these animals are just treated with so much joy and excitement, but that's not the case at all. So our investigators, they will get hired at these facilities, and they will work there for weeks on end, sometimes months on end, to show what's happening when the meat industry doesn't think that it's being watched. And these investigations, and we've done almost 60 of them so far at facilities all over the country, document just a culture of cruelty. And there are no federal laws providing protection to animals during their lives on factory farms. Most state anti-cruelty laws specifically exempt standard agricultural practices from prosecution. And these standard agricultural practices include everything from cutting the tails off of animals without pain relief, castrating animals without any pain relief, burning the beaks off of birds without any pain relief, and cramming animals in cages and stalls so small that the animals can't even turn around. They can't extend their limbs. They can't spread their wings. Many of them can't even walk. I mean, it is hard to imagine a more tortured existence than what animals are subjected to on a daily basis inside a factory farm. If these were dogs or cats, this would be illegal. It would rise to the level of felony animal cruelty in many states. But farm animals don't receive that protection because these factory farms are only looking at the bottom line, and they understand that they can make more money by cramming more birds, for example, into a cage, knowing that the birds will likely be sick, some will die, they certainly won't be happy, and they might not produce as many eggs per bird, but overall per cage, they're getting more eggs. So these animals have been reduced to the status of being production machines, but of course they're not production machines. They're individuals with the ability to suffer. So our investigators, in addition to documenting these standard practices, document sadistic and malicious abuse at times as well. Animals being beaten with crowbars, stabbed with pitchforks, having their tails broken, thrown against walls. You know, things that anyone with any ounce of compassion would find to be just absolutely unacceptable. And The truth of the matter is that animals are certainly the primary victims of factory farms. The people that work inside of these facilities suffer as well. You know, this is such dehumanizing, desensitizing work for people to work in a slaughterhouse. Uh-huh. A part of their soul and their spirit has to die for them to slit the throat of these incredible animals every single day.
Yeah.
And in fact, I talk in my book about how there are really high rates of what's called perpetration-induced traumatic stress. It's a form of PTSD where these workers just become so numb and desensitized to what they see that they will resort to self-medication, drug, alcohol abuse, domestic violence, and other violent crimes are much higher in areas where slaughterhouses are based, you know, and which leads to the question of, do slaughterhouses have a place in a civilized and moral and conscious and loving society?
Right.
And to me, the answer is pretty clear. And it's not just the animals that suffer because of them.
Yeah. So it breaks my heart to think about somebody who cares so much about animals going in undercover and having to be a part of it. This must be really hard for you and your team when you do these sorts of things.
It is. It's emotionally traumatizing because, you know, I've gone undercover into factory farms, and we've had, you know, dozens of other brave individuals who have done this work, and it's physically dangerous work. It is really putting your life on the line in many situations. Mm-hmm. It can lead to so much physical trauma, but it's the emotional trauma that really can stay with you. But myself and the others who have done this work do it because we know that to bring about real change, whether that is helping encourage people to eat less animals, to move towards a plant-based diet, or to change the laws or change corporate policies, we have to expose what's happening. We have to shine a light on this. You know, it's been said that sunlight is the best disinfectant. This cruelty thrives in secrecy, and it can't stand the spotlight. Most people are good at heart. They want to do the right thing. They don't want to support cruelty. And these investigations and this work help bring this to the forefront and hopefully start a really necessary public discussion and dialogue about our food choices and about what we owe to these animals who sacrifice everything, their lives, to feed us, yet we treat them as if their lives don't matter.
Right. And I think people will think in terms of, you know, okay, well, the animal dies, right? But they often don't think in terms of how they're spending their money and ingesting the energy of long-term, lifelong cruelty.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. You know, these animals live and die in fear. Mm-hmm. They, every moment of their lives are controlled. They have no freedom. Their babies are separated from them. You know, you go into a pig factory farm and you see these mother sows locked in cages that are only 2 feet wide. They can't even turn around.
Oh my goodness!
And these are animals that are smarter than dogs.
Yes.
And they can only watch helplessly as their babies scream and are mutilated and thrown around. And, you know, these are animals that express love. I was told a story by one of our former investigators, Cody, who worked at a pig farm in Pennsylvania. And the first day that he went to work at this facility, he opened the doors and he saw these mother pigs in these tiny crates called gestation crates. And next day he came in and one of the sows had managed to liberate herself from the crate. She used her tongue to unhinge one of the pins in her cage door and opened it. And following behind her were all of her babies, which she also got out. But she didn't stop there. She went around and unhinged pins in two other cage doors to liberate other sows that were around her. Now, she certainly didn't need to do that, but if that's not the expression of love and empathy for others that are suffering, I don't know what is. And so that's the type of struggle that's happening on a daily basis inside of these factory farms. I mean, these animals are trying desperately to free themselves and to free others. It's heartbreaking.
And I think in terms of if this were like an animated movie, everybody would be rooting for that sow.
Absolutely.
And the babies and all the other pigs. What happened to those animals?
Yeah, they were sent to slaughter. And in fact, for this particular mother sow, I mean, it gets even more heartbreaking. The workers at this factory farm, when our investigator figured out what had happened, they said, oh, yes, every once in a while, sows will learn how to liberate themselves. And once that happens, we have to kill them because we can't have them continuing to get out. And they took a captive bolt gun, which is a retractable pistol, and they shot her in the head, and she was killed because of her bravery to escape these conditions and her bravery to help her other friends that were confined and suffering around her. So, you know, this movie Okja that has been such a well-received international film on Netflix that tells the story of this super pig, Okja, that is, you know, saved from these horrible conditions, really struck a chord with people. And the truth is that this is happening every day inside of factory farms. You know, there are real life Okjas that are suffering. These these aren't CGI super pigs. These are real animals with the same desire for freedom. And that's what we hope these investigations can do, is help to bring the plight of these animals to the forefront. Because, as I said, people want to do the right thing.
Right.
They just don't really know oftentimes what's happening. And now people are starting to realize that there is something wrong with the way in which we raise animals for food. But there's this level of sort of willful ignorance. People don't want to know the details, because once they know, there becomes some accountability or responsibility to do something about it.
Exactly.
You know, this willful ignorance is not bliss for the animals that are suffering. And I feel like to be fully self-actualized and connected and loving and heart-centered individuals, we must address this issue. Because to me, being vegan and removing my support from these horrible factory farms is the ultimate expression of love and empathy and connection and compassion. It's one of the most fulfilling things that I've ever done with my life. And it feels good spiritually, mentally, emotionally, to know that I'm not contributing to that violence.
Yeah. This is powerful information, and we have to go to another quick break, but more with Nathan Runkle here in just a few moments.
Do you want to heal your body and mind? Your body has a lot to tell you if you just learn to listen to your intuition. Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio, can help you peel away the layers that are holding you back from living your best life. Tune in to Rewired Life Radio. Learn to love, heal, celebrate on Transformation Talk Radio every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Connect with Audrey at audreymichelle.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com.
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a wonderful conversation today with Nathan Runkle. He is the author of Mercy for Animals, One Man's Quest to Inspire Compassion and Improve the Lives of Farm Animals. Now, Nathan, you've talked about some of the, first of all, just the inherent cruelty of factory farming, and then how it goes, you know, much further beyond that in terms of humans acting out against animals in other horrendous ways. What about these farms where it's like organic and they're pasture raised? What about those situations? Are they any better?
Yeah. So, you know, I think the short answer is that they're not what most people would expect, and they would fall far short of what most people would consider to be humane or acceptable. That being said, in many ways they are less cruel than the typical factory farm. Uh-huh. You know, the animals are given a bit more space and oftentimes given a bit more of a semblance of a life, but they are pretty much always not what most people would imagine when they see these labels. For example, cage-free eggs, while an improvement from birds that are kept crammed in cages where they can't spread their wings, are oftentimes facilities where there will be tens of thousands of birds that are packed into windowless sheds. The birds are essentially prisoners of a different kind. Instead of cage wires, it is bodies that imprison them. Aww. And they will still have their beaks cut off oftentimes. And the male chicks, which of course will never produce eggs because they're male, mm-hmm. are killed in the egg industry. And this is true whether it is cage-free eggs or free-range eggs or conventional battery cage eggs. And we've done a number of investigations at these hatcheries, and I talk about these in the book, that document the way in which these nearly 200 million male chicks are killed every year in the U.S., and it's done by them being tossed while they're still alive and chirping into giant grinding Wow. machines. They're Mm-hmm. literally macerated while they're alive. Their bodies are torn apart. And it's done because this is a cheap and fast way to dispose of these animals. So I think when people come face to face with that reality, mm-hmm. the alternatives to eggs, which are, you know, just so widely available now, become a lot more appetizing. Mm-hmm. So I always encourage people to move towards a plant-based diet. You know, a complete vegan diet, I think, is the most compassionate thing that we can do. But mm-hmm. if people aren't interested in doing that, at least reduce your consumption of animal products. If everyone went meatless just one day a week, just participate in Meatless Monday, for example, over a billion animals would be spared the suffering that we've been talking about every year in the U.S. So small changes, when done by a large group of individuals, can lead to really big changes. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for people to think about it in that way, and that it doesn't have to be an all or nothing, and that just beginning to move in the direction of a compassionate diet is something that should really be celebrated and encouraged.
Now, there are a lot of people out there that say that we humans are designed to eat meat and that it's unnatural for us to be vegetarians. Can you speak to that a little bit, Nathan?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the science, if you look at the leading killers in our country right now, it's not protein deficiencies. It's in fact many illnesses that are related to a diet that is high in the consumption of meat, dairy, and eggs. You're looking at heart disease, which is so closely connected to consuming cholesterol from animal foods, and that leading to clogging our arteries. If you look at certain types of cancers and diabetes and other illnesses that plague our country, so much of this can be traced back to our diets high in animal foods. So the data shows that quite the opposite is the case of that, that a healthy, whole foods, plant-based diet is really the best in terms of long-term survival and our own health. So it's really sort of a triple or quadruple win when we move towards a plant-based diet. The animals obviously benefit, our health benefits, and it's far better for our environment. You know, it has been said by the United Nations that people should move towards a plant-based diet to combat the environmental damage that animal agriculture is responsible for. Right. If you look at the destruction of the rainforest, 80-90% of that is happening to create land for either grazing for animals used for food or to raise soybeans, which are then fed to animals for food. If you look at the use of water in this country, animal agriculture, either for crops or directly for animals, is one of the biggest uses of that water. If you look at pollution, you look at groundwater pollution from all of these 9 billion animals that are producing waste and what are called concentrated animal feeding operations. This waste is not regulated in the same way as human waste, and it gets into groundwater and nearby lakes and streams and kills aquatic animals. If you look at the emissions for greenhouse gases, we see that animal agriculture, according to the UN, is responsible for at least 18% of that, more than all of the transportation combined. So, you know, we are living at a time when the global population is expected to reach 10 billion people by 2050.
Wow.
And in animal agriculture is just not sufficient and sustainable to feed this growing population. It takes way too much land, way too many crops to funnel through an animal, most of that being spent just for the animals to live, and then killing them and getting a relatively small amount of meat and then calories from that. So this is not just an ethical issue for our relationship with animals. It's a moral issue for the future of our planet, and not only what that means for all of the human inhabitants, but also all of the other animal inhabitants here as well. And I think that time is running out, so we really do need to make important changes. And we can all be part of this solution every time that we sit down to eat.
Yeah, I know that some of us have been taught, you know, growing up and through the media, as well as from certain medical doctors, that we need calcium and it needs to come in the form of milk. Can you speak to that a little bit as well, please?
Yeah, I mean, the truth is milk, cows produce milk for the same reason that all other mammals produce milk. They produce it to feed their young. In this case, a baby cow that's going to, you know, double and triple in size in a short period of time. They don't produce milk to feed Homo sapiens or humans. Right. So this relationship with milk consumption is just completely against what our bodies are really designed to do. And this is why you see so many people have lactose intolerance. Our bodies stop producing enzymes to break down lactose when we grow old, when we get older, when we mature.
We should be weaning ourselves off of age. Yes. Yeah.
That's right. Getting to adulthood, adolescence, to wean ourselves. So calcium is important, but we can get them. We can get calcium from plant-based food sources, mm-hmm. and in fact, animal milks, when broken down, can become acidic, which actually can leach calcium out of our bones.
Yeah.
That can lead to higher rates of bone fractures and osteoporosis.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot that has been written on this topic, but again, if the American Dietetic Association says that a vegan diet is appropriate for all stages of life and has incredible nutrition benefits as well. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, these are great questions. There's a documentary that is quite a hit right now on Netflix called What the Health really dives deeper into so many of these health myths and how our food choices affect our own health.
This is such important information. When we return, Nathan, I'm going to want you to talk about how this activism has helped to change some corporate behavior and what your vision is for the future. More with Nathan Runkle here in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant, Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough, overcome life's greatest challenges, and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit SeattleHealingHypnosis.com for more information.
Welcome back to the Christine Epchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today to the founder and president of Mercy for Animals and the author of Mercy for Animals, which is a beautiful, powerful, devastating book that I've been reading. And I tell you, you know, I've read lots of books over these years, and there's some very poignant and sad stories, but I've never cried so much in a book that I have with this book. And yet this is illuminating truth. And you know, folks, we really, really, really cannot compartmentalize cruelty and move forward with a heart-centered world. So I think I highly recommend this book. It will open your eyes in all sorts of ways. So, Nathan, can you please share with our listeners how they can connect with your organization and find their way to, how they can contribute and how they can become better educated and find their way to your book?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find us online. Our website is simply mercyforanimals.org. You can also find us on all the social media platforms, just, again, at Mercy for Animals. You can find the book, Mercy for Animals, on Amazon, Kindle, Audible, Barnes & Noble, really everywhere that books are sold. And you can also find it on our website at mercyforanimals.org/book. So I hope that people will visit our website. I hope that they will get the book. And you can sign up for updates through our website. You can learn more about the work that we're doing, and you can even become a member of the organization. We are funded exclusively by donations mm-hmm. from people that care about animals and believe that we can do better. So we welcome that type of support and for people to become involved in whatever capacity feels authentic for them.
So, Nathan, I know that, through these exposés, through the education of consumers, that you are affecting change. Have you affected change on the corporate level?
Yeah, so this is one of the big focuses of the organization, and that's because if you look at our food system, we have a relatively small number of corporations that really control the fate of hundreds of millions of animals and combined billions of animals. For example, Tyson Foods, the largest meat company in the U.S., slaughters over 2 billion animals every year. So almost mm-hmm. one in every four animals that's killed for food is from one company. Mm-hmm. You look at McDonald's, they buy billions of eggs every year. If you look at Walmart, they sell over a quarter of all of the groceries in this country. So it's important to change laws, and we do work on that, but it's also important to hold companies accountable for what they're supporting and where their meat, dairy, and eggs come from. So for us, consumer education is crucial, and pushing these companies to adopt meaningful animal welfare policies is just absolutely vital. And we do have a long and rich history of success with this. Oftentimes, it's the result of undercover exposés exposing the horrible reality that animals face inside of the supply chain. And I talk in the book about an investigation we did at a dairy farm that documented workers beating animals and dragging animals that were too sick to walk. And we were able to connect this dairy factory farm to DiGiorno Pizza, the largest frozen pizza brand in the country.
Wow.
That is a product of Nestle, the mm-hmm. largest yep. food company in the world. And through that case and through the support of consumers exerting pressure on Nestle and dialogue that followed, Nestle adopted a global policy affecting 90 countries that essentially set the stage to end the worst factory farm practices, getting chickens, calves, and pigs out of tiny cages and crates where they couldn't move, ending the mutilation of animals without pain relief, mm-hmm. Changing the slaughter practices for birds so that they're not conscious when their throats are split.
Mm-hmm.
And I also talk in the book about campaigns to get Walmart to do the same. We did hundreds of protests across the country for years, multiple investigations at Walmart pork suppliers that finally pushed Walmart to adopting similar animal welfare policies. I talk about campaigns to get McDonald's, to get birds and pigs out of gestation crates and battery cages. Change is happening. We have been able to secure hundreds of commitments that affect over 1.2 billion animals every year on the corporate level. So it is happening, but it's also important to recognize that these efforts to improve conditions for animals in factory farms only go so far. This doesn't mean that these animals are living, you know, wonderful lives. Uh-huh. It really just means that in many ways they're just allowed to turn around now and, you know, engage in some of the most basic natural behaviors. Uh-huh. So there's still a lot of work ahead, and these animals are still living in a broken system filled with abuse. But it does, I think, show the power that consumers have to hold companies accountable and demand change.
Right. So, you know, you've been in the midst of it. You've seen the worst of it. Do you have hope?
Absolutely. I have incredible hope for the future. I say that in my daily work, I see the darkest side of humanity. I see how we are able to ignore and abuse and exploit animals. And I've had animals have their throats slit in front of me and see people throw animals into trash cans while still alive. But at the same time, in the same day, I see the brightest side of humanity. I see the generosity and the love and the kindness and the lengths in which people are willing to go to protect animals from this abuse. And the truth is that we stand in a place of incredible power just to be human and to have choice. This is something that these animals don't have. They don't have freedom to make decisions about their own lives. It is all controlled for them. So with this power, I believe, comes a real obligation to make the world a better place. These animals are completely at our mercy. And how we choose to use this power, I think, says a lot about who we are as people. It says a lot about our humanity. It says a lot about the world in which we want to live in. And if we can extend compassion and consideration to chickens and cows and pigs, certainly that sets the stage for us expressing love and connectedness with each other in a bigger way. And change is happening. I mean, there's a recent study done that found that 1% of baby boomers identify as vegetarian, 4% of Gen Xers identify as vegetarian, but 12% of millennials identify as vegetarian. So the trajectory is really quite impressive. And there's so much happening in the food space with innovation. People that are creating meat out of plants or cellular agriculture, literally taking cells from animals and growing them in suitable mediums so that it's real meat, but no animals are ever slaughtered. This type of innovation is something that I get a lot of hope and inspiration for, because the meat industry is outdated. It's not efficient. It's cruel. It pollutes the environment. So I believe, just like cars got horses off of the street and made horse and buggies obsolete, that this innovation in the food space will produce alternatives to traditional animal products that are cheaper, healthier, just as delicious and accessible. And when that becomes the case, when the kind choice becomes the accessible and the affordable choice, people will naturally move in that direction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're seeing everyone from Sergey Brin of Google to Bill Gates to Richard Branson to even meat companies now investing in these plant-based and cellular agriculture companies. And to me, that's exciting, not only because it will ultimately help pave the way to end factory farming and animal agriculture as we know it, but it is necessary to save our planet from the environmental devastation that we are currently expanding.
Mm-hmm. You know, I highly recommend your book, Nathan, Mercy for Animals. If you want to open your heart and look at the world in a new way and see what we have been compartmentalizing and sort of running away from. It's imperative to look at the information that's in that. And I want to thank you for joining us here today, Nathan. And I'm so grateful for the work that you do.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was my joy.
And his website is mercyforanimals.org. And within a couple of days, this interview will be posted on christineupchurch.com. Please tune in again and share it freely. Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.